B-Pod Studios.
Now, bizarre. WMMR presents bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
The officer who walked in on this particular scene at 1:30 a.m. in response to reports of screams found two women on the bedroom floor, one naked, the other one wearing only underwear, both covered in blood.
Whoa!
Yeah. The nude woman sitting on her up on her knees, according to the officer, said seemed to be in a happy type mood. Deputy Sean Hopkins testified in court that the other woman found lying on her back was almost appeared like she had been in shock, he said. And now, when he asked for an explanation, he said the nude woman, 44-year-old Allison Weaver, told me that they were having consensual sex and that the victim was a vampire and that Ms. Weaver was the wolf. The other woman had part of her left ear bitten off and numerous bite marks on her face.
Were they able to confirm that she was, in fact, a wolf and that the other one was a vampire?
They're still waiting for DNA tests to come back, Steve. No, but
Lab results.
The unnamed victim denied to the officer, as well as during the preliminary hearing Tuesday, that there was anything consensual going on at all. The victim said that she went to bed alone, leaving her friend Weaver, who had come over that night with two pouches of pre-mixed rum and an open bottle of vodka, on the couch in another room. She testified that she was later startled awake from her sleep. She said, "I remember jumping off my bed and seeing Allison on all fours on my bed, giving me a really scary look. She just kept giving me this look with her head back, going back and forth. And I was like, what are you doing? And she lunged at me and started strangling me." Yeah. The woman said she briefly lost consciousness. Next thing I remember after her strangling me, I could only remember a couple of things, but I remember was trying to get away and hearing her as clear as day with no reflection in her tone saying, "Sorry, but you're going to have to die today."
Oh, my God.
I just started screaming bloody murder, banging on the floor, saying, "No, no, no, I can't believe I'm going to die like this. Someone help."
And so which one? She was the wolf and the victim was a vampire.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, okay.
Weaver was charged with criminal sexual conduct, second-degree assault with intent to do great harm, and assault with intent to harm. The judge upheld those charges and allowed prosecutors to add a fourth charge alleging assault by strangulation.
Well, it's a battle, you know, that's raged throughout history, Preston, between the vampires and the werewolves.
It has.
So this may have some legal grounds here.
Weaver has entered a plea of not guilty to the charges against her. She posted $75,000 bond and was placed under monitored house arrest.
Those bars aren't going to hold her.
A man in eastern China cut off his own finger after being bitten by a poisonous snake, only to be told that there is no need to take such a dramatic measure to save himself. The 60-year-old farmer named Zhang was cutting firewood when he was bitten on the finger by the snake.
Zhang, it's an earthworm.
He identified it as a particularly feared type of viper known locally as the five-step snake. Because of the belief the victim will not be able to walk more than five paces before dying. And he chopped off the finger to prevent the venom from spreading.
Ha!
He then wrapped up his hand in a cloth and made the 80-kilometer journey to the nearest large city where he was able to receive treatment. However, he left the amputated finger on the mountainside, which meant doctors would have no chance to successfully reattach it.
What a day I'm having!
The doctor said there was no need to have such taken a drastic step because the snake is less lethal than commonly believed, but said his reaction to being bitten was a common one.
Zhang, in your haste to leave, moron town.
When Zhang arrived at the hospital, he did not display any symptoms such as headache, breathing difficulties, or bleeding from the gums. Nevertheless, doctors gave him an anti-venom serum and cleaned the wound on his finger. Zhang said this week that in April of last year, one of his neighbors had died from being bitten by a snake.
There you go. So I spoke hastily. He had a reason to be scared.
Yep.
But
he's doing well. He's recovering. Now, not so about for a woman in Indiana. A woman was found dead with a python wrapped around her neck.
Oh, my God.
And this was in a home that contained 140 snakes. Police responded after receiving a call from dispatchers. Upon arrival, police found Laura Hurst unresponsive with an 8-foot reticulated python wrapped around her neck. Medics arrived and attempted life-saving measures, but they were unsuccessful. Police were there, say there were 140 snakes at the location, approximately 20 of which belonged to her.
So what was it, like an Airbnb for snakes?
I don't know what the story was, or maybe she watches after them for people? I'm not really sure.
I babysit my friend's snakes.
Yeah. But anyhow, 20 of those belonged to hers, who frequented the location approximately two times a week. An autopsy will be performed to determine the official cause of death. That's pretty wild.
Do people board snakes, like if they're going on vacation? Oh, come on, in the car. In the car, Slippery.
All right, how about... all right, we'll do this one, then we'll cleanse the palate a little bit after this one.
Another brutal one?
It's pretty messed up.
All right.
A perverted hospital security guard who had relations with a patient's corpse just hours after she died.
Oh, my God. What?
Has managed to avoid a prison sentence.
How?
Cameron Wright admitted to the act after two men caught him in a body storage room. The woman, April Parham, was an organ donor and was due to have vital parts removed. Wright was fired from the St. Francis Hospital in Memphis following his arrest.
I figured, you know, no harm, no foul.
He was charged with abusing the teacher's corpse. But shockingly, he could now end up with a clean record without spending time in jail after a court ruling. Court files revealed that the charge against Wright, who had no previous convictions in the area, is considered a low-level crime.
Well, looking at your record here, it says here that you effed a dead woman.
And a judge has granted him a 3-year diversion, which means the case will be set aside if Wright does not commit other offenses.
There were no charges in that, by the way, just to clarify things.
April's family are believed to be devastated by the ruling. Her dad, James, said after he was arrested, "I want whatever the fullest extent of the law can happen to happen, and I'm not only dealing with her death, I'm dealing with this, and it's not fair."
So what was the thing that was allowed him to be released without any charges?
It's a low-level crime.
A low-level crime?
He said he could be released without charges.
We'll see. All right.
Yeah. All right, something lighter.
Please.
And a follow-up story. A beloved one-ton boulder in one of Arizona's national forests has magically returned.
It was returned!
Visitors reported it missing last month. They brought it back. Wizard Rock, a black boulder with white quartz running through it, was reported missing from the Prescott National Forest by several residents last month.
They should call it Pierre Boulder.
On Friday, a forest employee was patrolling the Prescott Basin and made the surprising discovery of the reappearance of that boulder.
What the?
It's unclear how the gargantuan rock was removed and returned without a trace.
Dear park rangers, sorry I took your boulder. Here it is.
Permits are required to gather and remove most forest products, including rocks, minerals, firewood, plants, and trees. The rock is special to the community, forest officials said.
It's my favorite boulder.
They said, "We are thrilled that the Wizard Rock was returned and are grateful that whoever took it was conscientious enough to give it back to the public. Forest managers are considering moving the rock to a new location so that its beauty and uniqueness can be more easily seen by visitors.
Apparently an easy boulder to move.
Yes.
One-ton boulder.
There was no trace of how they took it or brought it back.
Is it a nice boulder?
Mysterious. We can't find that clip.
Damn it!
I have it. Steve,
oh, you have it. I thought you had it, Case.
No, Case has it, too, but...
Okay.
Waiting
because we played it on.
I know.
Thursday or Friday.
Friday, I found it late, but I can't remember how it was labeled.
All right, now is it under Shrek?
It's a mission.
No. Okay. Can't remember if it's Shrek or Donkey or Boulder. Or... it's not Donkey. It might be Boulder.
Boulder.
We have no way to search on there.
Donkey. We do. It depends on how they're loaded in, though.
Yep. In the Vox Pro. Yeah, he's looking on the Vox Pro, not on the 360.
Say anything or play any music. Just leave it silent for the next 3 or 4 minutes.
Okay. It's under Nice Boulder. That's
all right.
Why.
There we go.
I like that boulder.
All right. Now, do we have that's
nice
bow?
It's a nice boulder.
There you go, Nick.
Makes me feel much better.
93.3 WMMR. Audio on demand. It's the Bizarre File podcast.
In this week of Weirdly Delightful News, a woman has been painting with her boobs, and the results are pretty great. Artist Nadia Matevsky from Belarus doesn't paint fruit bowls or nude folks. She makes majestic illustrations of none other than Her Majesty the Queen.
So she paints the queen with her breasts?
Exactly.
It is my tribute to her.
The 21-year-old has been using Queen Elizabeth as her muse and her boobs as her brushes, and she even manages to sell her paintings.
Don't ask me how I paint the tacos.
Covering her breasts in paint, Nadia has also been able to create stunning landscapes. Nadia, who turned professional after painting her first piece as part of a challenge, angles her bits in different directions to create unique patterns and styles.
How do they look? Did you see any pictures of them?
It's not bad.
Really?
Yeah.
Is it like Bob Ross-esque?
No, I mean, it's a portrait of a person, so it's a little bit
landscapes.
Different. But
yeah.
Other women in the past have also gotten creative using their breast, and who could forget Picasso? I guess the man painted with his penis, or is it, no, I'm sorry, not Picasso. Picasso. Missed that when I first added
there was
this story.
A whole chapter in the Picasso story I was unaware of until I realized it was Picasso.
I wouldn't have doubted it.
No.
Nadia loves giving a shout out to the monarchy and says there's even a growing demand for her work.
Of course.
She said that she's never picked up a paintbrush until she began painting her unique pieces back in February. And now she sells her art using Facebook and Instagram and flogs the stuff across the globe.
She also paints houses that way, probably.
That'd be pretty impressive if she could do that. Police say a Pennsylvania man fatally shot his girlfriend because they were having an argument over his guns. Pocono, I guess he won. Pocono Mountain Regional Police say 88-year-old Bernard Pedrera shot 72-year-old Lydia Boulan at their home early Thursday.
No, I'm not comfortable with your guns.
A police affidavit says Pedrera told officers he was cleaning his guns.
I was cleaning the gun.
When his girlfriend yelled at him to put them away. Police say Pedrera told them she grabbed a loaded gun and it went off killing her. Court papers say he later told police he had his finger on the trigger at the time. Authorities say the couple had a history of domestic complaints.
I actually wasn't cleaning him at all.
He was jailed without bail on a homicide charge. This dude sounds like he murdered her.
Yeah, that's what it sounds like.
How about this? A Montana woman who forced her ex-boyfriend to have sex with her at machete point has been sentenced to 20 years in state custody. A judge sentenced Samantha Mears in connection with her arrest last year for breaking into the victim's Great Falls home and sexually assaulting him. Mears was committed to the custody of Montana's Department of Public Health and Human Services for placement in a mental health facility. Her 20-year sentence was the maximum.
What a lunatic.
Yeah, listen to this. Following the treatment at the Montana State Hospital, Mears was judged stable enough for her case to proceed, though a sentencing order notes that she suffers from mental disease or defect, and she'll have to undergo counseling and treatment. Now, Mears entered the victim's home while he was out running an errand. Upon the man's return, Mears emerged from behind a bedroom door, and she said, and apparently came up behind him and placed a machete under his throat. She then directed her ex to get on the bed and remove his clothes. After taking off her pants, Mears climbed atop the victim and initiated sexual contact. The man told cops that Mears, who was holding the machete, bit him on the arm and continued to have sex with him after he attempted to end the encounter. The man added that after he finished, he sought to push her off to end the whole thing, but she continued to have sex with him until he could no longer perform at all.
So all the while holding a machete?
Yeah. Well, I guess I'm not sure she had it the whole time or not, but maybe she did.
Jeez.
The man eventually fled the residence, called 911. During questioning, Mears claimed to have had consensual sex with the victim. A cop noted, but she was, quote, not making much sense and would often ramble on in her answers with information that didn't even pertain to my questions. 2 months before the assault, Mears was arrested for sexually strangling her boyfriend. Allegedly strangling.
Well, allegedly.
Not sexually.
Yeah.
Sorry.
But now she's going to prison.
Yep. In Connecticut, one person is in custody after Waterbury residents reported finding razor blades in their children's Halloween baskets. And this is a legit story.
Okay.
So Thursday night, police received multiple reports of loose razor blades being found in candy baskets in the 102 Horseshoe Drive area of the city. So far, none have been found inside of the candy. One person who is believed to be responsible for the incident was taken into custody and identified as 37-year-old Jason Rask. Rask claims the razor blades were accidentally spilled or put into the candy bowl he used to hand out the candy from.
That seems viable.
Doesn't it, though?
I often keep all my shaving equipment next to my candy bowl.
Rask did not provide an explanation as to how the razor blades were handed out to children along with the candy.
Well, I find it comforting to shave over the candy bowl.
Police also determined the 3-year-old living at the home had access to a box of razor blades.
Go play with your razor blades, kids, and Daddy's going to make you some waffles.
Was arrested and charged with risk of injury to a minor, reckless endangerment, and interfering with a police officer. He's being held on $250,000 bond, by the way. So
yeah.
Yeah, you never really hear the stories of really people getting razor blades in their candy. I mean, it wasn't in the candy, but still, it was handed out. That was really weird.
Thanks for listening to Preston and Steve's Bizarre File podcast. Go to PrestonandSteve.com, click on demand for full show podcasts, and to subscribe so you never miss an episode.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.